Let us turn to God in prayer. By the power of your Holy Spirit, gracious God, illumine our hearts and minds, that as we read and hear your word, it might be enlightened by the one who is the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our scripture lesson for today is the gospel lectionary passage for this Sunday of the baptism of our Lord. I'll read from chapter 3 of Luke's gospel, verses 15 through 17, and verses 21 and 22. Listen for the word of God. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I am coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was in high school, on the weekends, as I left the house, my dad would bid me farewell with the same words. Each time I walked out the door to go out with the guys or to go on a date, he would send me off with these weighty words. Son, remember who you are. You know what he meant. He wasn't afraid I was going to develop some temporary amnesia and forget my name or that I lived on 122 Fairfax Drive. Instead, he was concerned that my words and deeds and actions, that I reflect who I was, my upbringing, my values, my good family name. Remember who you are was his paternal benediction every time I left the house. And it was also his paternal benediction when I left home for good. Son, remember who you are. Truth is, points out the minister William Willimon, it's sometimes difficult in modern life, amidst all the conflicting claims and confusion of names, to remember who we are. We are often asked to answer to some false name, some name that's really not who we are, forever misunderstanding who we are and by whom we are named. It's easy to forget. Who am I, often asked by youth, is a pressing question, not only for them, but also for many adults. The quest for one's true self, the search for one's identity, consumes much more than our teenage years. In our day, there are many causes, groups, and philosophies that are more than willing and ready to tell us who we are. Who am I? You are mostly maker and spender of money, capitalist, doer, producer, obtainer of cars with sunroofs, leather seats, and loud stereos, paying off 15 or 30 year mortgages on homes with 2 or 3 car garages. Seek affluence, the advertisers and salespersons tell us. Who am I? You are mostly a sexual being, the movies, televisions, and songs tell us. Who am I? You are an autonomous, self-made being, the modern, secular, power-craving world tells us. Nobody will look out for you but you. You are the most important project in your life. So nurture, love your adorable self. Look out for number one and seek power and influence. In last week's sermon, Chip named these some of our idols. But to the pressing question of who I am, the church, the Christian faith, has traditionally responded with these words. You are baptized. You are someone to whom a name is given. Yes, at baptism, we are given the name Christian. The name, at whatever age it is given, is a gift. Unearned, undeserved, unmerited, like salvation itself, a gift from God. And in so doing, the church makes a radically different statement about who we are and how we get to be who we are. We are telling the baptized person that his or her identity is a gift, something bestowed upon us by God's grace, remembering not just who we are, but whose we are, a child of God. So at baptism, we receive a spiritual name, Christian, follower of Jesus Christ. There's a true story that a Presbyterian pastor tells about one of those awkward moments in ministry. He was in the middle of performing a wedding ceremony. This is a true story. And just about ready to lead the couple through their vows when all of a sudden he forgot the name of the groom. Well, what to do? Trying to cover the awkward moment, the pastor asked the groom with great solemnity, "With what name were you baptized?" And the groom was taken back a bit. He paused. After all, this hadn't been in the rehearsal. And then with great confidence, he responded, "I was baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this didn't help the pastor a bit. But the point is, at least this groom understood the meaning of baptism. And the minister, Susan Andrews, points out that what is most important about this scripture lesson I just read is the ending. Quite simply, God is delighted. God's voice is warm and welcoming. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. Even before Jesus has done anything noteworthy or worthwhile, God praises him. God affirms that Jesus is precious, that he is unique, that he is loved, not for what he does, but for who he is. In this baptism scene, God echoes the divine delight and pleasure that was expressed in the very beginning of creation. After the creation of light and dark, moon, sun, and stars, God said, "It is good." God made this same statement after each following day of creation and after the creation of man and woman in God's image, looking out over all of creation, God said, "It is very good. Very good." And after the baptism of Jesus, this total immersion into the human experience and condition, God says, "This is very good. This is delightful. This is the beloved who brings me great pleasure." And so it is, my friends, with each one of us when we are baptized. We too are blessed as the beloved. We too bring pleasure to God. We too are known as children of God, just as happened momentarily ago. Now we sin, of course. We do things we ought not to do and don't do the things we ought, but our sin is troubling not only for how it hurts others and God, but because we know we were made for something better. Our sin is noteworthy, our inhumanity an affront to God, because it does not befit the character of ones so worthy. After all, we are children of God, worthy because we have been made worthy, adopted as God's own. Friends, today we will renew our baptismal vows. We will come forward to the baptismal font or to the bowls to remember our baptism and to recognize that we are loved, set apart as God's beloved, to become love throughout the world. Each one of us is to be reminded of our original blessing. The waters of baptism that have washed over our lives, and each of us is to be reminded of God's voice in our lives. "You are my child, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Yes, remember your baptism, my friends. Remember that you are beloved, and remember that it is a gracious God that has taken delight and pleasure in who you are and in who you are becoming. Back in 1976, America's bicentennial year, a very creative writer came up with an intriguing idea. "Our nation is 200 years old," he thought. "I bet I can find someone alive today who is old enough to remember that when they were a child, they met someone who was old enough then to have been born at the founding of our nation, a living link to our country's founding." And indeed, the writer found such a person. He was a Kentucky farmer named Burnham Ledford, who was over 100 years old in 1976. And he remembered as a little boy being taken by a wagon to meet his great-great-grandmother, who was then over 100 herself and who was a little girl when George Washington was inaugurated as the country's first president. When the writer asked Burnham what he remembered, he said that he remembered being taken into his great-grandmother's home. She was feeble, she was blind, and she was sitting in an old chair in the dark corner of a bedroom. "We brought Burnham to see you," his father said. The old woman turned toward the sound and reached out with long, bony fingers and said in an ancient, cracking voice, "Bring him here." "They had to push me toward her," Burnham recalls. "I was scared to death of her. But when I got close to her, she reached out her hands and began to stroke my face. She felt my eyes and my nose, my chin and my mouth, and all at once she seemed satisfied. And she pulled me close to her and held me tight, and she said, "This boy's a Ledford. I can feel it. I know this boy. He is one of us." Friends, in an even deeper way, that's the promise Jesus hears at his baptism. He is beloved by God. And through Jesus Christ, each of us hears that same promise. When we are baptized, God holds us close and says, "I know this one. I called this one by name. This one belongs to me." Yes, to one and to all of us, God says, "You are a child of mine. You are a child of God. You are Christian. You are loved." And so, my friends, let me close with my dad's words. This day and every day, remember who you are. Amen and amen.